Good morning and welcome to Thursday morning, December the 7th in 2023 on When I Rise. Today we continue year B, the second Sunday of Advent, and on the Thursday of the week, we'd like to take a look at the New Testament letter passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary in this week of the church's calendar year. And so we find ourselves in a different spot today. How about 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 15? So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Second Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 15. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote with you with the wisdom that God gave him. This is the word of God for us. All right, so first things first, I was able to, since the podcast is hosted on Spotify, got to look at the podcast's own Spotify Wrapped, where it takes a look at the different listeners in the audience of the When I Rise crowd. And there's some neat statistics in there, but maybe a couple noteworthy things just to celebrate with you. This year in 2023, our podcast grew by 63% new listeners. So people who regularly tune into the pod, they found out like 63% of them who listen to it daily or regularly, they came in 2023. So that's kind of cool. So that means that the podcast grew 11%. Of an audience and downloads this year, and so we kind of rejoice in that. You know, I'm awful weird about self-promotion. It'd be one thing if it was like promoting a business, but like, hey, would you like to listen to me give notes on the Bible and pray? Like, this is kind of strange. Usually people bump into it and they usually say, how long have you been doing this and how come you haven't told me about it? It's just because I'm very timid, and when exposed to critique, I guess I shun that at any chance that I can. So I probably shouldn't have done ministry if that's the case, but nevertheless, here we are. So thanks for those who climbed aboard the bus in 2023. Thanks for being here. And thanks for those who've been there from the very beginning. Thanks to those who subscribe to Patreon and you give $5 a month, which helps nourish the podcast. It also helps nourish some of our initiatives like St. Jude and clean drinking water. Thank you for all that. So if you'd like to figure that out, you can just Google When I Rise, Patreon, my name, and it'll land on the page. Or I guess I could put it in the show notes. I'll try to do that on this episode. Okay, and just one like cool little side note about this passage this morning is how Paul makes a little cameo, right? It's kind of like, somebody shows up to your work and you work at a big organization and you're in the lunchroom one day and you look across the room and somebody that you went to high school with is there and you're like, hey, when'd you start working? And they're like, well, I've been here this whole time. I've been here for 10 years. What? How come I haven't seen you? So we guess at this point, by the time 2 Peter was written, that Paul's letters are circulating. I mean, most of them went to present-day Turkey and Greece. Only one, Romans, is outside that region. And so if Peter is addressing as a general epistle to this area of the world, of course people would be aware of Paul. They'd be aware of his ministry and his words. And so here, this is kind of neat how the two dominant voices, the two characters that truly frame the New Testament, are they can be found here. And they both have a common theme. Verse 15, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. And so where do these two voices in the New Testament meet? Where do they harmonize? They harmonize on the theme of salvation, and they harmonize on this admonition of the church to wait patiently. We kind of catch the idea of this chapter midstream. If you actually look back up to verse 3 and following, it says, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? And so there's a sense where Peter is wanting to, in this correspondence with the churches, he wants to help guard one cherished belief of the Christian church among many, and that one was to wait patiently for the return of Jesus. We do know that the church was expecting it. There is this interesting picture, this paradox, in reading 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. Paul is, he's expecting the imminent return of Jesus, and then in the second letter, he's having the church not to get lazy in the process and the waiting, but to continue to work feverishly and diligently for the sake of the gospel. And so this seems to be the same admonition that Peter has here. He wants to frame this idea that our timetables are different than God's. And this is probably the common struggle for disciples, is how can we lean upon the promises of God as we wait for them to come to fulfillment? And that's not just the big one of the return of Jesus, the restoration of all things, the new heavens and the new earth, but also the promises of God, you know, in a microwave. Not microwave, a microway spoken over our lives, where we wait upon the things we really feel like the Lord has impressed upon us. And so Peter says, remember, time is a construct that we use. A day is like 1,000 years and vice versa. And then he talks about the severity and the thoroughness of the judgment of God, that it's going to test everything. And I think that's why this image of fire is here. You can obviously read the Bible however you like. There is a sense, scholars suggest, that 2 Peter was one of the few that were held out, in the consideration of canon. And of course, they're authoritative. Of course, they're shaping the church. And of course, they're attributed to the Apostle Peter. But, there's a handful, four or five New Testament books that got set out for about 100 years as they discerned whether they should be included in the official list or not. And this is one of them, because there's, just some different elements and some things here that needed to be vetted. And there is this style of literature that's circulating in the intertestamental period and after, called Enochian literature. It is very doomsday-ish. It is very judgment-heavy. And we do think that Enochian literature perspective is shaping what's going on here in Peter's letter. So that doesn't mean he's denying the return of Jesus and the thoroughness of judgment. No, he's impressing that upon us. We're also recognizing that Peter is a first century writer. He is a first century Second Temple Jew, would have had unique perspectives of what the end times was going to be like. And fire does not necessarily mean like the obliteration of something, like a nuclear holocaust, like some preachers have said in American church history. If you read it that way, it's totally fine. Just want to remind you, like, let's get the big books off the shelf. Let's, investigate this from a couple different perspectives. And what we find is that fire is an image of judgment, something being purified, something that's being tested, right? And its impurities rise to the top and scraped off so that it can be pure. And so this seems to match this idea of purity, of a refining, seems to match what is the holistic perspective of the restoration of all things. We think of the prophets, when they say that the day of the Lord and the glory of the Lord will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. I mean, they had to try to find their grasping for language, because this is such a big idea. And that idea of the glory of the Lord filling the earth as the waters cover the sea, well, the waters are the seas, right? And so they're like, no, like, it's the seas, but more than the seas. It's like the real sea. And I'm like, all right, okay. I think we get what you mean. If they have like a theopoetic mind, I think that's what's going on here. I think that there's a sense where the heavens and the earth, it's going to be purified, because anytime that we have apocalyptic literature, we have like this kingdom coming down from heaven to earth, like the the travel is up to down, and it's not away from this, you know, from this earth that we know. And so there's a sense where there's going to be a mending of the universe instead of like a annihilation of the universe. But it is going to, something that we know now is going to give way to something better, right? And I think that's probably a timely word for some of us. Some of us, we've just had a hard go at life. We've been stripped of hope because of our experience. We're just kind of waiting for the next shoe to drop, right? We've been mistreated in some deep way. And we've got this, you know, we're just covered in the ticks of trauma, and we just can't move on. And I think one of the keys, one of the neat features, one of the diadems of Christian belief is there's going to be a a restoration of all things. And it's going to be a rebirth. There's going to be a mending. There's going to be a healing of us and the universe. So God's not going to leave this project unfinished. He's not going to leave our lives unfinished. And if we've been harassed and mistreated, he's not going to let the guilty go unpunished. It's going to be a thorough examination of all that's happened. And God's going to put it all to the rights. So with those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have all things in your hands, that you care for creation, that you love the church, and that you love the world and all the nations. And we call to mind the great psalm that says that you've installed your king, your Messiah, in Zion's hill, and you'll give the nations as his inheritance. And we thank you that you have all nations in your care. And we thank you that even though we see travail, we see pain and sadness, we see radical injustice all over the world, and even in our communities, we think of that all those things will not get the last word. But since you're the benevolent God, the lovely King who is humble and kind, that you will continue to draw people to repentance. And we think that we get to see that today. But we also thank you that you're not going to hold back forever, that even though your patience is now, that you're going to bring things to a great telos and finality. And so as we look forward to that day, we heed the words of the passage this morning that we should be diligent in our own work and that we should be ready for the end. And so this day, I pray whatever is next required for us, that you would give us courage to take those leaps of faith today so that we could be more and more ready and more able to work in this redemptive business with you. And so God, this day, as we go from schools to workplaces to homes to different pockets and communities, we just pray that you would empower us to be your people. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.